Good afternoon and welcome to For the Cause of Christ, the radio ministry of the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood. The church is under the direction of its pastor, John Lutz. Stay tuned for a message straight and direct from the Word of God. Here now with this week's message is Pastor John Lutz.
Well, good afternoon. This is actually Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you here in place of Pastor Lutz today. Pastor Lutz had to be elsewhere, and so he turned the microphone over to me today. But he'll be back, Lord willing, next week, and actually he'll even be filling in for me on our program. If you listen to the program for long, you know that Pastor Lutz often will mention me as following him. And so I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and we actually have a program that comes on at 1:30 right after Pastor Lutz here, so we're kind of doing double duty this week. I'm filling in for him, and then I'll be doing my program, and then the plan is next week, Pastor Lutz will be here live on the air, and then he'll be filling in for me and our program, so just to kind of keep you guessing out there a little bit here today, but certainly it's good to be with you today, and thank Pastor Lutz for giving me the opportunity to fill in for him, and certainly encourage you to visit there at the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio, and is like to point out too, if it's on your east side of Cleveland area, the west side of Cleveland area in Lakewood, if you're on the east side, there's also Pastor Andy Rusnacko, who comes on at 2 o'clock here in the afternoon following our program at 1:30. Pastor Rusnacko comes on at 2 o'clock. He's the pastor of Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, Ohio, over on the east side. And then our church, the Bible Baptist Church, is located down in Richfield in northern Summit County, south of Cleveland. So I guess we kind of got Cleveland surrounded here with the three programs. But if we can be a blessing, I hope you'll come out and visit us sometime. And I want to mention, too, that again, when I get into our program at 1:30, we will be having the telephone lines open at that time. We normally do a program that allows people to call in with questions about the Bible and current events in the light of God's Word. And so we'll be doing that during the 1:30 program. So stay tuned for that. And here at this particular time, wanted to share a couple of things. I was just trying to prepare for both programs here today, and there's just been so much that's happening in the world today. No doubt many of you listening have been paying attention to the various events that are going on regarding the bathroom bills and things of that nature. Just to kind of catch you up on that, there's a move in this country to allow people to go into the bathroom of their choice. At first, that might not seem like such a bad thing. You might be thinking, well, what's wrong with that? But the problem is, what they're saying here is that if a man who looks like a man, dressed like a man in all ways, is a man, decides that he wants to go into the ladies' room at the store or at the gym, or into the ladies' locker room, or wherever, he should be allowed to do that. And if a woman who looks like a woman, dressed like a woman, acts like a woman, always a woman, wants to go into the men's room, they should be allowed to do that too. Nobody should tell them no. Nobody should offend them by saying, well, you're not really a woman. You're not really a man. The men's room's over there. The women's room's over there. Even in Cleveland, they were debating a thing for Cleveland. It would make it a misdemeanor if you were at the Y, for instance, and you were looking and observing a man walking into the ladies' locker room and the ladies' shower, and you said, excuse me, sir, the men's locker room is over there, and maybe your daughter had gone in there, or maybe your wife had gone in there, maybe your granddaughter had gone in there, or maybe you were about to go in there yourself, and you see this man walking into the ladies' locker room, and you think, well, maybe he's just making a mistake. He's going in the wrong door. You don't want him walking in where these women are. And so you say, sir, the men's room's over there. Well, that would be a misdemeanor offense because you have made him feel bad and you will have made him feel that he's less of a woman. Go figure that out. You make him feel that he's less of a woman. And there's been a number of cases around the country, and I'm not going to go through all these cases right now, but just to mention some of the generalities where there was a school district in the Chicago area where this young man, teenage boy in the school, he believes that he's a woman. Now, he's biologically male, but mentally, he thinks he's a woman. Now, we used to have a word for things like that, and that was called crazy, because that shows that he's obviously out of touch with reality. But now, you can't say that because, well, that might make him feel bad. And as I mentioned in our programs in the past, that when the school was forced to do this by the government, the Department of Education, different things forcing them to do it, to allow this young teenage boy to go into the girls' locker room where he would have to be changing with the teenage girls, because some of the people thought that this would not be appropriate, but they had to do it by being compelled by the courts and by the government. So they thought, well, we'll put up a screen so he can change behind the screen, and the women in there, the young teenage girls in there, hopefully won't be too embarrassed and just a little bit of decorum here. Because after all, he is physically a male. And he said, oh, that's not fair. It makes me feel like I'm less of a woman. And so they were making this case that he should be allowed to change and shower with the girls. Now, what's to stop somebody who is a teenage boy from saying, you know, I wonder if I can get away with that? And so he goes to school one day and says, hey, guess what? Today, I'm a girl. And so I'm going to go and use the women's restroom, and I'm going to use the women's locker room, and I'm going to shower with the other girls, and you can't tell me no because you'll offend me. Well, so what if it offends everybody else? You can't offend him. Well, thing that I found kind of interesting with this is that Target stores have made it a matter of policy, and they have said in their policy that anybody can use the restroom or the changing rooms of their choice. And I even heard just the other day about a man who dressed as a man, looked like a man, made no pretense of looking like a woman. He went up to the sales associate and asked where the women's room was, and said that he wanted to use the women's room because he identified as a woman. And they said, fine, and they directed him to the women's room. Now, he was just doing that to see if he could get in. And so this policy is already, I guess, being enacted in Target stores across the country. And the reason is Target doesn't want to offend the estimated 700,000 transgendered people in this country by making them feel that just because they're not biologically the gender that they identify with, because they're not necessarily visually the gender that they identify with, they don't want them to feel that they're in some way not the gender that they identify with, and they don't want to make them feel bad by pointing out to them that in no way do they even appear to be the gender they identify with. And so Target, to avoid offending potentially 700,000 people, has decided that the 700,000 people, which represents about 0.3% of the United States population, actually less than 0.3% of the United States population, it's better to not offend them, but instead to offend potentially 99.7%+ of the United States population that's not transgendered. And I found it interesting that within just a few days of an online petition to boycott Target, it's already gotten over 1 million signatures. So let's see, if I'm not the greatest mathematician in the world myself, but if I can figure this, over 1 million people have said that they won't go to Target because of Target's bathroom and locker room or changing room policy. And That's a difference there. Let's see, 700,000 potential transgendered. So 1 million minus 700,000. It seems to me that the target had the choice. Will we risk offending 700,000 people, or instead will we risk offending, so far it's 1 million and counting, but just going by those numbers, they've lost the 300,000 more customers beyond the potential 700,000 that they might have gained. And I was looking at all this, and this is just one thing in a whole sea of these things. And we live in a day that when you point out how ridiculous this is, when you point out how immoral this is, they're making the effort to sound, make you sound like a bad person, because you might happen to think that, hey, my daughter, my granddaughter, my wife, my sister might not, my mother might not be comfortable changing in there with a man coming in, or using the restroom in there with a man coming in. Well, you're made to be a bad person. And that's a perfect example of Isaiah 5:20, where the Bible says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And that's what's happening here. The goodness moral things, I should say, are being said to be immoral. Good things are being said to be evil. They're calling good evil and evil good. They're putting darkness for light, light for darkness. That's what's happening in our world today. And, you know, it's prophetic, because if you go over to the Gospel of Luke chapter 17, and here in the Gospel of Luke chapter 17, Jesus is teaching, and he has spent some time teaching about faith in this chapter. And as he comes down toward the latter half of the chapter, he begins teaching on some prophecy, talking about what it would be like in the last days, what it would be like in the time prior to his coming. Now, we have to remember, in the last days, there's a number of things that are going to happen, of course. That's the first thing, is the catching away of the believers. That's what we call the rapture, or the catching away of the church, and that's going to happen. Then after that, the Antichrist will come to power, be revealed, and then the seven-year tribulation period will begin, and then at the end of the seven-year tribulation period, the Battle of Armageddon, Jesus will come physically to the earth, landing on the Mount of Olives, and then entering into Jerusalem and into the temple, which, of course, will have to be rebuilt at some point. But the second coming of Christ, then, is a two-part event, much like his first coming was. In his first coming, the first part of it was kind of secret, kind of private in a sense. Very few people knew what was going on when he was born as a baby. And then, of course, when he entered into his earthly ministry, the whole world took notice of him. And so that's kind of a two-part event in his first coming. His second coming will be like that. In the first part of it, he comes in the clouds. He does not come to the earth. He comes in the clouds, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we are caught up to be with him, caught up in the cloud with him. And remember, when he ascended up into heaven from the Mount of Olives after his resurrection, he ascended up into heaven. And he didn't just vanish out of sight as he got smaller and smaller. He was caught into the clouds, and so he's supposed to come back in the same way we're caught up to meet him there. And then at the end of the tribulation period, he comes back in the clouds once more, but then comes all the way to the earth, and he actually lands on the earth, puts an end to the Battle of Armageddon, destroys the Antichrist armies and all of that. Don't want to get off into that so much right now, but I want to look at this first part. And in this, in reference to the first part of this, and the days, the condition of the days that will be when he comes here, Jesus says in Luke chapter 17 and verse number 26, he says, "And as it was in the days of Noah," and that's N-O-E, that's a variant on the spelling of Noah in the Old Testament. He says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. And then he elaborates. He says, they did eat, they drank, they married wives, and they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Then he says in verse 28, likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. And the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, and it destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now, there's more to it, and it goes into talking about some of the things that are going to take place when he comes in the second part of the second coming, when he actually comes to the earth. But looking at this first part, this is interesting, and it's a big contrast between what it will be like at the time that the Battle of Armageddon is raging. And this is also, if you catch this, this is also a good evidence that believers will be caught out of the world prior to the tribulation, that we will not be here. Some people believe we will go through the tribulation. Some people believe that we will be here during the Battle of Armageddon. Well, we'll come back at the end of the Battle of Armageddon when we come back with Jesus, and as we watch as he defeats the Antichrist and the armies of the Antichrist and all of that. But at the Battle of Armageddon, at that time frame, you're in the last part of the tribulation. You're at a time of the tribulation where the world has been racked by war, by famine, by pestilence, by natural disasters, by meteor showers, by all kinds of things that will have wiped out large numbers of people, caused starvation and suffering on a scale that's so great that Jesus had said that except those days were shortened, meaning that they were only allowed to go on for so long, that there would not be any life left on this planet. That's how bad it would be. So now look again at what Jesus said, talking about what it would be like just prior to the catching away of the believers, where he says in Luke 17, verse 26 again, it'll be like it was in the days of Noah. Well, okay, what was it like in the days of Noah? Wickedness was rampant. People were getting more and more wicked. Well, can you look at the world around us today and see that? I mean, it's the world getting more and more wicked. And the other thing with the days of Noah, we had the instant where I believe it's the fallen angels, the sons of God, who were intermingling with the daughters of men, human beings, and I believe it was some kind of genetic alteration and such that might have been going on that was in an effort to pollute the human genome and to prevent the Messiah from coming in to the world, which was promised back in the Genesis chapter 3, the seed of the woman that would defeat the seed of the serpent. And I believe there was this attempt to mar the human genome and to kind of distort human beings at that time. The Bible says there were giants in the earth and things like that as a result. And you can come up with a lot of views as to what and how things were going. But right now, we have this thing called transhumanism, which I've talked about in our program before, and you can even find some clips dealing with that at our website at livewithpastoral.com. But there's an attempt today to change the human genome, to improve people, to make super soldiers, to make people that can go longer without having to have sleep, super strength, super intelligence, to merge computers, artificial intelligence with your mind, with human intelligence, and even, in the words of some, to eventually be able to upload human beings' personality and memories and everything right into computers themselves so that you could live on in a variety of artificial bodies and things of that nature. Well, sounds like it's like it was as in the days of Noah. But here's another characteristic of the days of Noah, and this is why I think this is before the tribulation begins and not at the end of the tribulation. Luke 17, verse 27 says, they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came. Now, the flood represented judgment for man's sin. The tribulation is judgment on man for his sin, his rejection of God, just like the flood was. Noah and his family, the believers, were spared from that tribulation, from that judgment. They were lifted up in the ark, which represented Christ. Believers, if you know Jesus Christ, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, your sins are forgiven. The Holy Spirit of God is in your heart. You will be lifted up presence of Jesus and spared that judgment. And also notice what they were doing. They were conducting life as normal, eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, all the way up until the day that Noah entered into the flood. That suggests that life was going on pretty normal. Now, in the latter days of the tribulation, where people are just trying to stay alive, wars are breaking out all over the place, disease and famine and pestilence and natural disasters happening in such horrific fashion, hardly sounds like a day when people will be eating, drinking, marrying wives, and giving in marriage until Jesus comes back. No, that's the characteristic before the tribulation starts. So that's an indication that the rapture, the catching away of the believers, will take place prior to tribulation. And we just got a couple of minutes left, and I'll point out, he also says in verse 28, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, destroyed them all. When the angels took Lot out, they said that they had to take him out because they couldn't do anything until they took him out. You can read about that in Genesis 18 and 19. But notice again, they were conducting life as normal, eating, drinking, buying, selling, planting, building. That's the events, that's life before the tribulation, not at the end of the tribulation. And the other thing with that, as in the days of Lot, Lot was living in Sodom and Gomorrah, characterized by all kinds of immorality, incredible sexual deviation and open homosexuality and things of that nature. And again, sounds a lot like the days that we're living in. I was talking with a friend of mine the other day about this, and I said, you know, can you ever remember a time in your life, we're both in our mid-50s, this stuff was as open as it is? I mean, it's incredible. They're right now trying to make the transgendered open and accepted by society, like they've been doing with the homosexual community. And guess what's next on the agenda? Pedophilia. If you don't believe that, do some research into the subject. The acceptance of pedophilia as natural and an alternative desire that's normal is about where the acceptance of homosexuality was about 20 or 30 years ago. They're moving in that direction, trying to make it normal and acceptable in society today. As in the days of Noah, as in the days of Lot, wickedness, immorality increasing on every side. We need to be looking for the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to be caught up with him, you need to put your faith in Jesus as your Savior. Trust Christ today before it's too late. You need to be caught up. Sure, some people will get saved during the tribulation. And in fact, the Bible indicates that a great number of people will be. But they're going to be stuck here during that time. And they're going to have to go through many of these events. But you can escape that if you'll confess your sin, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, and accept him as your Savior today. I want to thank you for listening. Stay tuned for Live with Pastor Al coming up next. And thanks again for listening. God bless.
You have been listening to For the Cause of Christ with Pastor John Lutz from the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood. Pastor Lutz and the congregation would like to extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at any of their services. Sunday morning worship is at 11, the Sunday evening service is at 6, and the Wednesday Bible study is at 7 p.m. North Coast Baptist Church is located at 2051 Quail Street in Lakewood. For directions or more information, please call 216-521-3800. That's 216-521-3800. Or send an email to northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. That's northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. Thank you for listening. This program has been sponsored by the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood, Ohio.